Alexa, LS430.
The Toyota MR2 sports car.
Everything keeps going right, Toyota.
Lexus, the result of our relentless pursuit of perfection.
Oh, what a feeling. Toyota.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Toyota Untold. This is Tyler.
And I'm Kelsey.
All right, so there are a lot of things in this job that are very cool, things we get to know about.
Mm-hmm.
But Kelsey, do you ever feel like, or do you get questions from people about, hey, when's this car coming out? Are you ever bringing back such and such?
Yeah, it's like every day in social, it's all the comments. People want to know, when can we see the whole Tundra? Or when are you bringing back, insert any vehicle? So I do feel like a master secret keeper sometimes.
You do, because we know some things. We know it's when
We've
it's coming out.
We've seen some things.
Mm-hmm. We've seen the pictures. We know when it's being revealed. But we just can't tell you guys.
It all comes out in good time.
Uh-huh.
There's always a plan.
Good things come to those who wait.
Right.
And much like this episode, if you wait, you might get some really good info.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for Easter eggs in this podcast. Just kidding. I can't say that. All right.
I went off topic.
So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about an event that we had called HQ Confidential. Because last year, we released an episode of Toyota Untold that explored auto shows and what goes into them. And auto shows are a key component of any car company's promotional rollout. But when the coronavirus hit and prevented any of those large-scale events from taking place, we realized that we had to shift gears.
We needed a new event to share all of our secrets, and that's where HQ Confidential came in. In June, we hosted an event at our headquarters in Plano, Texas, giving a select number of guests access to information, interviews, and even hands-on experiences with our new and upcoming models.
And so in this episode, you're going to learn all about how we had to put together an event that basically replaced and became our own auto show. Joining us to discuss how this exciting new event came together, how it was received, and what it means for the future are Chris Carter, Senior Manager of Public Relations and Engagement at Lexus, and Nathan Kokas, Product Communications Senior Manager at Toyota.
Nathan and Chris, welcome to Toyota Untold.
Thank you, Tyler.
Awesome to be here.
At a certain point into the pandemic, it became clear that auto shows would not be coming back soon enough for us to share the news we wanted to get out into the world. So Nathan explained how the idea for HQ Confidential came together.
Toyota, with our whole Kaizen philosophy, we're always looking at ways to improve and do things differently. And how do we make the experience for customers and also for journalists even better? We've been looking at this auto show format for a number of years, and I think COVID just gave us the opportunity to explore and do something different. And we were looking at what would be our potential venues for showcasing our vehicles. We had a backlog of vehicles that we hadn't been able to show at the normal auto show schedule like we normally would. And COVID definitely threw a big wrench in that. So we looked at our venues and we saw the H headquarters campus and the big, beautiful venue that it was. What it offered, since staff weren't able to go to work every day, and so we decided to use that as the canvas. So we created basically an auto show at Toyota headquarters and created different little auto show displays for each one of our vehicle categories, our truck section, our performance vehicle sports car section, and then our crossover section. So we were able to pivot because of COVID and create a owned auto show, a Toyota and Lexus auto show.
For those that aren't in PR, how important is it for us to have an event where we bring journalists to see the vehicles, to release a vehicle? So like, I guess for the average audience, why do we do this in the first place? The auto show space obviously makes sense because all the other brands are there and you're competing and there's consumer days and things like that. But just with this hybrid event, how important was it for us to bring journalists to get their hands on the cars?
I think it's a huge importance because what we do with this kind of event is we take and command the share of voice. So think about an auto show. And these press days, typically any given auto show like in New York or in LA or Detroit, there are two press days. Now imagine you have 20 OEMs that want to announce 20 new models, right, on these two press days. So divide that by two, that's 10 a day. Now you've already started doing the math and you start to see that, wait, there's only really 8 hours of standard show on those two press days. So it starts early in the morning. It goes all the way through the afternoon, like a straight up 9 to 5, even sometimes earlier than that, right? Some press conferences start at 8 o'clock. So you think about the media that we work with, the automotive media, your Motor Trends, your Car and Drivers. They're typically going to these auto shows and they're going from one reveal to the next reveal to the next reveal to the next reveal. You might get their attention maximum about 30 minutes because you're fitting in between 10 to 12 reveals in one day. On two press days, and that's it. And sometimes they may not even come to yours because yours might not be the one they want to focus on. So doing our own event and inviting that same crowd of media and journalists and lifestyle media too to come to us, and we give them the white glove service. We pamper them, we wine and dine them a little bit, but we really give them a showcase and access to our executives. I mean, talk about having 100% shared voice when on average, we would have a fraction. I mean, I'm even being generous when I say 10% share of voice as a major OEM, 10% at best, I'd say, at a general A show. Not the B shows, I'm talking about the A shows, like the big ones, LA, New York, Detroit, you know, et cetera, CES. So I think that's why it's so critical for us to have done this event, because we literally had 100% of their attention. They had nowhere else to go but to focus on Toyota and Lexus.
Putting something like HQ Confidential together was almost like organizing an entire auto show in and of itself, not to mention that we had to do it in a way that could accommodate social distancing. So what goes into planning something like this?
6-8 months prior, we were in the thick of COVID restrictions and social distancing, et cetera, mask wearing. That was prior to vaccinations being widely used and available. And so we were estimating and trying to project forecast when we thought there would potentially be some reprieve and when we would turn the corners as a society with COVID. So we projected that summertime in 21 was the earliest we could possibly do something. And we picked the first part of June and picked a couple of dates that seemed to work the best. And fortunately, we hit a sweet spot. And that was when a lot of society had their vaccinations and mask restrictions were being lifted and society was really opening up. So we were fortunate that just our timing worked out, but we were extremely happy too with not only that, but also the Texas weather. Leading up to the event, we had an excessive amount of rainfall and just... It was a little bit touch and go there for a bit as we were planning countermeasures and alternate plans for the event as we were leading up to it, because the majority of the event took place outside in open air as we were utilizing the campus space to still maximize social distancing as much as possible.
Yeah, so take us through some of that planning, because I feel like a lot of people don't understand the nuance and the logistics that goes into one, an auto show display, generally, when you're at the show, but when you're hosting an entire event at your headquarters, bringing in as many vehicles as possible to get as many journalists as possible eyes and hands on it, like how many journalists, how many cars, how many little stations, how many executive presentations? That's a lot of work, right?
The way we originally started planning this, it was a lot smaller than what it ended up being. I'll say that. And it just grew. And it just kept growing the closer we got to it, like Nathan's saying, with contingency plans. So I'll pass the buck back to Nathan because I think he can articulate how we originally started with some numbers just trying to have some traditional media. And it almost became a very huge undertaking that I think originally we were focused on traditional media, right? Traditional automotive media. And actually it ended up becoming an event that drew the attention of a lot of folks. So
we originally were thinking that we would have to limit our attendees to about 60 journalists. And as we were getting closer, we knew that interest for this event would be very high. And so we wanted to balance the demand for an event like this, but also trying to honor and make sure we weren't overstepping in terms of social distancing requirements. So we boosted that number to nearly 90 journalists. And fortunately, as I mentioned prior, the opportunity was, it was okay because of the vaccine distribution, et cetera. And a lot of people would be more comfortable with a greater amount of people around them. I think over the course of, as we showcased all of our products to the journalists, it gave them really an opportunity for them not only to see all the features and the benefits of the vehicles, but also to get access to executives and the product experts that we had on staff and really dig in and learn more about all the new features about the vehicles and get the inside scoop, really, so to speak, and to get some great insight.
And how would they have done that before? Like via email, where we give our, or the press fleet loaners that we do, but that's usually towards when the vehicle's being built and going on sale. This was more like ahead of time that they got that, right?
Yeah, there's not as much time at an auto show for them to really connect with a lot of Toyota team members to get more detail about vehicles. So they got a lot of FaceTime with our teams and got to get as much information as they really wanted over the course of the entire HQ Confidential experience.
As Nathan just explained, an auto show doesn't provide people with much time to really grapple with what they're being shown or presented. So this is another way that HQ Confidential was able to completely redefine what a journalist or guest can experience when being showcased our new lineup. And how many days was it again?
It was a total of 4 days.
Four, like, full days. I mean, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or with wine all the way in between, or like, what are we looking at? I obviously didn't go.
You pretty much nailed it, Kelsey. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, I kind of figured.
It was very involved. I think we had a day that we were focused on introductions and more of the kind of corporate welcoming with all of our executives. We had Jack Hollis and Scott Vazin and Zach Hicks, Bob Carter, Chris Reynolds, all the key players, Dave Chris, Andrew Gillian, and Nathan and I had to shop around. The executive preparation was pretty heavy. Nathan and I had to shop around that agenda, I don't know how many times and how many review meetings we had, and have everybody ready. And as Nathan was saying, we had a scope of 60 journalists, but then this turned into, Nathan took an additional homework where we work with government affairs. And before we knew it, we had, I think, congressmen, and we had state officials and the Texas local municipalities as well coming through to see everything, and especially interested in our technologies. Then, of course, our dealers got the word that we were doing this big thing as well. And so some of my background in product planning, we got the dealer advisory panels, the Toyota dealer advisory panel, the Lexus dealer advisory panel. They came and saw it as well. So it expanded its scope so much. I mean, and we had to really, our teams had to really do a pretty all hands on deck and tag team pretty heavily. They did a great job. I mean, it was a tremendous undertaking between all the teams involved. I mean, such a cross-functional effort with Toyota marketing, Lexus marketing, getting involved and strongly supporting. You know, you had 2 days that were primarily on campus, and we had one day it was at a track. So we had all these vehicles out of the track too that they were able to drive and get firsthand experience.
So they actually got to get behind the wheel of the vehicles that they were riding about, which you don't get to do in an auto show because they're just sitting there.
No.
That's nice.
Yeah. The great aspect of the drive component is they experience the vehicles dynamically. And as Chris mentioned, the track that we used was 60 miles away. So they had an hour-long drive out to the track. And then they had a experience with performance vehicles on the road course of the track, coupled with a off-road experience with our trucks and SUVs on an off-road trail that was complete with a rock crawl climb. So the journalists had a chance to experience the true capabilities of all the features of those trucks, and as well as the performance cars.
So they got to see the cars and the elements where they're designed to be.
Absolutely. And take it to the extremes.
But did they have a professional driver rock crawling on their behalf? Or is that something you can just get in there and do? Because I have that in my car and I don't think that's how it works.
Well, there were the opportunity for experts there to show a journalist that didn't have experience doing that how to operate the functions. But we also at the track had performance or race car drivers. We have race car driver partner and both on the track side and the trail side. So on the trail side, Ivan Stewart, who's a famous race car driver from Baja 1000.
Legend.
He's a legend, absolutely. Legend. And he was giving hot laps, I should say, on the trail and really taking the vehicles as fast as he could push them and showcasing what they would do. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. One of the things that we heard, feedback that we heard was just the time with the executives. Like you mentioned before, when you're at an auto show, they only have so much time with each automaker. And then the presentations are really they're one-sided. The executives up on a stage giving a presentation, showing them, and then they turn it around. And then there's the scrum where everyone literally sprints to the stage and asks questions rapid fire. But was there more time for them to spend with the executives to ask these detailed questions to the engineers, the marketing teams, to get to know this vehicle even more in depth? Because that seems like a obviously competitive advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we structured into the HQ confidential event was a content generation day. So we built these displays for the vehicle reveals, but then allowed the journalists then on the free day to come back and actually walk around the vehicles, have opportunity to talk with the product experts, and really get some of those detailed stories, the backstory, the whys, the hows, the what, and ask them the nuanced questions so they could develop stories. And along with those, you know, that time, there was also availability for the journalists to talk to executives as well and get some of the backstory. And that happened the previous day too, during the reveal, during coffee breaks, prior to presentations. So just those free time, those ad hoc moments where the journalists could talk to executives one-on-one and really get some great insight.
People scheduled executive roundtables too, which typically at an auto show, it's very difficult to schedule that. Typically, you can take interviews one-on-one, but only a few. And typically, it's just to maybe some of our, you know, partner media. But I think the executive roundtables and the whole audience been able to have a back and forth with a couple of exchanges with Bob, right? They love that, right? They are able to have a couple of exchanges with AG and Coop, for example, from product planning. They just love that. So I think having a couple of those structured roundtables and, like Nathan said, plenty of time to have one-on-one conversations at coffee breaks and whatnot, that went a long way for the executive engagement.
That's awesome. I'm sure they value that time so much. And I'm sure in the feedback they, you know, gave, it's like that was probably one of the highlights. But the flip side for on our side is that when they get more time, that's great. But also that an auto show and wouldn't get to ask those questions. So was that a little bit nerve-wracking too? And did we have to prep our executives differently for that?
We had many prep meetings with our executives and made sure that they were well equipped with.
How long did that document end up being, Nathan?
Yeah, it was 80 plus page QA document that was cut down from probably 10 times that.
That was the short version at 80 something pages. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Our executives are incredible. They are so talented and their ability to answer questions on their toes is really remarkable. And their memories to be able to retain all the information that we gave them is also impressive. So I think the journalists see that and understand how educated and how comprehensive of a question or the answer that will be provided to them. They're just really appreciative of that time.
One of the things outside of NX obviously was kind of the star of our show, but we really wanted to make a good attention around 20 teammate and the automated driving, right? Autonomous. I think that had a lot of preparation. We had a lot of support from Lexus College. They did a great job. We had test drives of all of our executives before we did that to the journalists. And I'm telling you, 2 months worth of test drives before we did that. So a lot of preparation for that technology. Of course, we had a lot of next chapter stuff set up. The biggest thing, though, is advanced technology, like you said, Tyler. We used the Experience Center to debut our new multimedia infotainment system, 14-inch screen. We built a buck for that. You could sit down and play with it. I think the journalists will get to see that at auto shows. We'll take that around. That was a big deal, I think, for the brand to be able to talk about those technologies and give them a hands-on experience. They got to test drive autonomous technology at a hands-free level 2 mode. They got to sit inside and see a 14-inch screen mocked up that will be in our future models. And we've never had a 14-inch screen in any of our cars. Advanced technology like that. I think being able to use HQC for that opportunity to really say, hey, we're going to make a shift as a company. So definitely we use Lexus products to debut them, but this same stuff, it's really a corporate thing. I mean, we're going to be bringing that technology to Mirai, as Nathan's been working on forever. We're going to be bringing the technology pretty soon to a future model coming near you on the Toyota side of the house. I'm not going to steal his thunder. But I mean, there were even some sneak peeks going on that Nathan might want to tell you about. That was cool. We were able to do that. We would not have been able to do at auto show. The things that we were able to do behind the scenes with our media guests, I think.
Really, our house, our rules, right?
Oddly, I thought, Chris, that the journalists responded way more enthusiastically about the infotainment multimedia change than I thought they would.
Well, Lexus Interface was definitely one of our key messages. I think with Interface, we invested more than probably we normally would. It's just such a paradigm shift. And I think the reason they reacted so strongly, Tyler, is because in J.D. Power and Consumer Reports, it's our worst performing category as a company, both Toyota and Lexus. We're used to sitting at the top in QDR. We're used to sitting at the top even in, and now we're competing in design. And we're competing in a lot of different spaces that comfort, safety, right? Where powertrain, fuel efficiency, we typically are top three in all those categories, J.D. Power. But when it comes to infotainment, Tyler, we're almost dead last. It's almost an embarrassment. So I think that's why we saw the media response so strongly, because they were kind of like, finally, finally. So I think that's why it got a strong response. Not to mention, it's pretty dang slick. If you ever played with it, it's a slick system. It's like nothing like what we have in our cars today.
It was pretty cool. And this is the first big major flag in the, you know, dirt here for our partners over at Toyota Connected, right?
Yeah, they've done an excellent job. Connected Technologies and Toyota Connected. I mean, Zach Hicks, Steve Bosser, Sean Lotan team, big hats off to them. They have really, really put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, so to say, to bring us and resurrect us in that area.
And what about the Toyota reveals? Much of what was shown is still under wraps for the time being. But one thing we could discuss was the reveal of the next generation 2022 Tundra.
That was a great add to the overall event. It was a highlight for the journalists. There was a lot of discussion in the background whether we should do it or not, concerns of potential leaks, of concerns of is it too early to show it? Should we need to show it in a different venue to them? But all in all, we trust our media partners, and it was a key moment for the event to bring them behind the scenes and show them the upcoming product and give them a quick walk around and really just a chance to see the design. And they're all, you know, extremely excited about it, and everyone has honored the confidentiality. There were no leaks from that. Yeah.
Shout out to our media partners. You guys are the realest, because you didn't leak it, even though our dealers did. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
But incredible. I thought what was interesting, when the 2022 Tundra did leak by, unfortunately, someone in the network, that one of the journalists we saw on our Facebook post came back and said, yeah, I saw it, and described the experience from seeing it on background, but still maintained some confidentiality of like certain things that he saw. So that he added to the conversation, but also held back on some of the key things that he saw in person.
Yeah, I think, you know, doing things like that really help make connection between ourselves and the media body as a whole. And we take that as a learning too, and we're continue to do that, and it just builds trust and relation and solid relationships.
And for those people who listen, it's interesting to see, if you don't work in PR, the line dissolving between traditional media and social media, right? Most of your traditional reporters are now in social media promoting their work that they do in traditional. Any news that makes its way from traditional media reporters makes its way into social and vice versa. So the lines are completely blurred between the two sides, but they work together, which is very interesting to see.
Yeah, Toyota definitely had a long list of reveals, and Corolla Cross was the big new product news, and also BZ4X, the electric vehicle. After that, it gets even more exciting. So the new GR86 sports car, the Supra A91 CF, which means carbon fiber edition. Three new trucks, actually. So two new Tacomas, the Tacoma TRD Pro, the Tacoma Trail Edition, as well as a new 4Runner TRD Sport. So those are all the new vehicles. Then we had a bunch of special editions that we were revealing as well. So Prius, a new Nightshade version, special edition. Sienna Woodland Special Edition, and then Highlander Bronze Special Edition. So a lot of great vehicles, and the journalists were just getting whiplash looking at it from one to the next as we were revealing them. So a lot of great things to show. It's always good to show a new product because it's always exciting.
Yeah, as you can tell, if we change a color, a bolt, anything, we're re-revealing that. So,
yeah.
Brand new.
Let the people know, Kelsey.
It's true. We got a new color. Y'all come look. HQ Confidential was a response to the extraordinary circumstances of the pandemic. So what's the bottom line? Was it a stopgap while we wait for traditional auto shows to return? Or did it go so well that it's going to replace them for us in total? Will we be repeating it annually?
I think it was worth it. One thing about this type of event is the incredible reach that we get. Again, I'll go back to having that 100% share of voice. You get an incredible bump in your reach versus a traditional auto show. Now, this is not saying auto shows are going to go anywhere. I mean, auto shows still have a huge purpose for consumers, a huge purpose for in-person debuts of models. They're still huge to support our dealers and support sales. But I think when there's special things we want to announce and we want to have that 100% share of voice again, and more of that kind of direct influence to the messaging and the narrative.
Yeah, it was great. Bob Carter talked about all our new product on TV programs and Squawk Box and CNBC. Got a chance to talk about the new electric vehicle and Toyota's commitment to electrification, and showed both the BZ4X concept along with the Lexus LFZ concept vehicle. So great opportunity to talk about both product as well as corporate messaging and Toyota's new vision for electrification going forward.
I really think you guys haven't seen the last of HQC. I'll just say that. I definitely think, and I'm sure Nathan wants to add some 2 cents to that, because I definitely think there's going to be some opportunities. Speaking for the Lexus side of the house, we debuted the NX and also the next chapter of our Lexus brand. So Lexus, we're rebranded. And we were able to introduce that new brand pillars that we have in such a formal and nice kind of powerful way. I think having the opportunity to debut a model, but at the same time kind of announce we're rebranding, made sense that we wouldn't do that at an auto show. We do that on our home court. That announcement's too important to do elsewhere. And I think there's going to be some ground shaking new products and new brand directions coming to both brands in the future. So I think we'll probably be in that position again where we want to have home court advantage, so to say, when we want to make those type of announcements. I'm going to say that I don't think that we're completely done with auto shows, because some auto shows have different purposes. And I think that from a press conference standpoint, we may look at press conferences differently for sure. I think from an efficiency standpoint and a share of voice standpoint, there are a lot of advantages, right, to doing an HQC. But I wouldn't say that we're out forever. I think it's a fluid thing. We're going to continue to monitor and do what's best depending on the scenario for the media.
Yeah, because then you miss out on the consumer part, right? Like the benefit of some auto shows having your car sit there for a while so the consumers can shop around.
I think that part of the auto show won't necessarily, go away. But I think the press conference part, we might think about it differently. There might be some press conferences we want to be a part of. There might be some that we think, you know what, let's hold it. We can save money and get a bigger reach, you know, output by doing our own thing. We're looking at hybrid models where we do a digital reveal and then follow it with an in-person event. So we could use the auto show to still do an in-person event, even host some media there, but maybe not do the traditional press conference style. Might be more of a hosted media style or in booth, you know, at the auto show. But the digital reveals, they get such broad reach immediately. And then we're seeing a nice combo of having that digital aspect plus the in-person aspect. So I think we're going to be studying it moving forward. And I still think auto shows will be a part of what we do. But it may not be the main or only way of doing it like it was in the past. I think that has definitely evolved.
We had this big event with all these cars because we were on hiatus for a while, right? So we had a lot to say. We had a lot to show. Do you think in the future, maybe this would be a smaller event like originally intended if there were a smaller amount of vehicles to show? So maybe it's something it could be done like more than once a year, but on a smaller scale because you only have 3 to 5 vehicles to show because everything's been revealed. Obviously, the life cycle of a vehicle is a lot longer than other brands' products. So we don't have to do it as often.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a scalability potential for an event like HQ Confidential. We can right size it for the number of products that we have to showcase. We're going to take a lot of what we did with this first event and continue to learn, evolve, explore, to Kaizen, using the Toyota term, and just make it better next time. And if that means multiple smaller events of because of whatever need, timing, or I'm just wanting to get the news out sooner, then we'll do that. But we're gonna continue to investigate and research our findings and provide the best outcome for the next one.
How long do you have till the next one? Are you guys thinking about it now, or
not long?
Do you get a break?
Well, at least on the Lexus side of the house, I'll tell you, we have more full model changes coming at us over the next 3.5 years than we've ever seen as a company. So it's an exciting time to be in Lexus. Toyota, I think, is used to running at that pace just because of the volume of models Toyota has. But for Lexus to have 3 full model changes in 1 year is quite heavy. I think it's quite heavy anywhere you look, but we're going to be running this pace for the next 3 or 4 years. The whole lineup will flip with the next chapter of the brand. We don't have a lot of time, Kelsey, to be honest with you. It's back to back for 3 years out. We have a schedule 3 years back to back to back, and we don't have a lot of time between them, but it keeps everybody on their toes.
If you're wondering what product PR looks like, this is it.
Hey everyone, if you guys want more information about these vehicles that we just talked about, just go to the show notes for this episode and the links to the websites will be there where you can find out more info.
If you've enjoyed listening today, make sure that you're following the show wherever you listen so you don't miss what we've got coming up soon. Or head to toyotauntold.com for all the info and links you'll need. We greatly appreciate it when people rate and review us, so please do if you're able to. And if you have any feedback for us, questions, or even suggestions for topics you'd like to hear us cover on a future episode, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to podcast@toyota.com.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And until next time, I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Tyler.
And this is Toyota Untold. All right, Chris, Nathan, thank you so much for joining the podcast, giving us the inside scoop on all things HQ Confidential. We love talking to you today. You're allowed to come back to the podcast anytime.
You're approved.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's always good to talk to CorpCon people. You are our people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of love. Thanks. A lot of love.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
This podcast is brought to you by Toyota Motor Sales USA Incorporated and may not be reproduced or redistributed in whole or in part without prior permission of Toyota. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and our hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Toyota. Please note that Toyota is not responsible for any errors or the accuracy or the timeliness of the content provided. Used with permission, all rights reserved worldwide.